Philippians 1, if you have your Bibles open, we are returning tonight to what I've called it being healthy from the inside out. And we're looking at six principles, actually. Tonight is the fourth principle. And back in December, our last time to meet, we did touch on these, on this one. And I want to come back to it tonight. And then we have two more. And then we're going to move on to something else here in just a few weeks. I failed to mention just prior to going to this quickly that if you are interested in 2 weeks from tonight, at 5 o'clock, we will have a meeting from Moldova. We're looking to take a good, solid team, about 15 to 20 people. And if you're praying about that or you know others that may be interested, be here in 2 weeks. And then also that night is our membership meeting, too, at 6 o'clock. And I failed to mention that. Back to the Word. A few weeks ago, we looked at the topic of receiving the gift of limits. Some of you know that us accepting that we're limited is a healthy thing. When we don't think we have limits, that's when we really get into problems. And we looked at it that night. If you were here, I looked at the life of Jesus. We saw that Jesus embraced limits by living the human life. Because how many know when God becomes one of us in flesh, that's really limiting to him. And so Jesus lived it. He lived it in Hebrews that it says he cried out with groanings. And he limited himself to the will of the Father. And he suffered and he went through great suffering for you and I, but that in and of itself was limiting because he could have called 10,000, right, a legion of angels to deliver him. And yet in that hour, he said, not my will, yours be done. That he pleased his heavenly Father, John 17, verse 4, that he had limited himself. And in leaving many people untouched everywhere Jesus went, we often forget that about Scripture, but we know he could have healed everybody on planet Earth, right? He's Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man. But he limited himself in a body and limited himself even in that he left behind people that were not healed. That night, weeks ago, I shared that in my class on spiritual formation of the leader several weeks ago at AGTS, one of my favorite books was by Ruth Haley Barton entitled Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. It is a delightful read for anyone here, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And one of her main chapters was on this subject, that if you want to be healthy and a good, solid leader, you have to accept limits. And I smiled then and I smile now because we're looking at that topic. We looked that night at examples of men that have done incredible things in church history. World Vision, Bob Pierce, C.T. Studd, William Carey, who we consider the father of modern missions. These men that in many ways, God used them in incredible ways, but they were out of balance. And we looked at some tragic stories that night if you weren't with us. And we saw the results of when we don't allow limits to be placed in our lives. Tonight I want to talk further about how to implement limits, and that'll be our focus this evening. Philippians chapter 1, and then we're going to turn over to chapter 4 in just a moment. But Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel. How many know prison's rather limiting right there? And he writes, some of you just need to smile, lighten up already, come on, it's Sunday night, just smile at me. But he was limited there, and we see in Paul, I'm sure with you agree with me, I love these four chapters. It's one of those books, many times in a morning, I'll just turn over to Philippians, I'll read right through it. It's a delightful little book, isn't it? And his attitude is so good, and here he is in prison, and where many of us would be frustrated and full of agitation, and why has God left me here? Here is Paul, and he opens up, and we know as he talks about those rivaling ministers, those that are apostles and they're doing what Paul is doing, but they're preaching Christ with a different motivation. Verse number 15, look at it or look to the screen. Paul says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. How many of you are glad that all ended in the early church? None of that today in the kingdom. Verse 16, the latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. What an incredibly free man. And yet Paul, in this sense, he's very bound. He's very limited in what he's able to do. He can't go out there and really do a lot about what's going on. Do you remember that about this passage? We only read a few verses, But Paul says, I'm bound in these chains, but you know what? Praise God. The gospel's going forth right here, he says, among the guards and among the prisoners. So even while bound, he was so free. And he says, I'm not going to worry about all these other preachers that are with wrong motivation preaching the gospel. It's really just a wonderful view. Look over to chapter 4, verse 10. Paul wraps up and he is thanking, of course, the letter. One of the main reasons for the letter to Philippi is to thank them because they had given into Paul's ministry and they've been there for him in the past. He's asking them to be there for him now. Verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. For I say it with me, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's an incredibly free view of a man who is bound in limitations. If you would, in your Bibles, go to John 3. I'll give you one other example. This is an absolute favorite for me, and I've had a few opportunities to go speak to pastors and leaders. I was in Kansas not long ago, and I've shared a lot from this passage because it is really good for preachers. It's good for pastors and evangelists and missionaries, and we have many of you here that either are or in the past have been. You find yourself retired, but it's so freeing that when the disciples of John come to him and say, hey, and the NIV says it this way, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, that man happened to be Jesus. He's kind of an important figure. But they say, hey, that man over there, he's baptizing now more than we are. What's going on here? And there's that rival spirit between the disciples. And look at what John says. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. That's a limiting, freeing statement right there. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. I mean, no, that's a good lesson for the church. We're the church. We are the bride, amen? We belong to him. It's not about us. It's about him, John is saying. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. He must become greater. He must increase, King James. I must become less. I must decrease. Do you hear the freedom in this man? He is saying, I accept the limitation. I am not the Messiah. And how many of you know, when you're popular in ministry, it could kind of go to your head sometimes. And John was popular. He was strange. Locust sticking the honey right here in the beard, you know. He's out there, but they're coming by the droves. They're coming to be baptized by him. He had a following. He had disciples. They were turning to him, and God was using him. And how many of you know, it might have been easy for John to have gotten a little bit puffed up. It might have been easy for John to say, well, maybe I should have a greater part in this thing of the kingdom. But no, what does John say? Hey, I'm not him. You're looking to the wrong guy. Matter of fact, I belong to the bridegroom. I have to decrease and he needs to become even greater. All of us need to have the spirit of John the Baptist. Amen? In Limitations, we see three things here. Paul and John both understood and accepted, first of all, their limitations. Paul accepted his sufferings. He accepted prison. He accepted a thorn in his flesh. After praying three times, he says, how many of you know, he didn't pray four. He said, I prayed thrice. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And I think Paul said, all right, I'm going to carry this then. Each of them, John the same. He stresses his limitations of who he is. They stress their limitation in their place. Paul among the apostles, John in relationship to Jesus, and as well their purpose. In the scheme of things, both Paul and John understood that they were willing to be limited according to what God's plan for them was. As I said several weeks ago when we looked at limits, that it's something very hard for a lot of us to receive. None of us want to be limited. And we see it in Jesus, and typically we don't do well with limits, but Jesus did. Jesus did it for us. We can do it for him, and it's an important part of the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's just kind of our American culture. It screams that we don't like to be limited. If anything, we don't want to embrace. When we're young, you can grow up, you can be anything you want to be. How many know that's not true? I don't think I could have been a professional football player. You don't have to say amen, but I kind of know that. But I'm watching those guys yesterday and again today, and I said to Carla, I love football. And she goes, I know. And her tone was really low when she said that. But I just love, especially the NFL, I enjoyed yesterday. I arranged my week to make sure I could just be there. If you think that's carnal, I apologize. I was ready for this morning, but oh, I enjoyed yesterday. And I pretty much watched both games. I just love it. But I look at those guys. It's not fair. I wish, Mike, don't you wish you could have been that big, that strong? And look at us. It's pathetic. Let's move on. I mean, I know I couldn't have been a rocket scientist. Do any of you know anybody that could have? I didn't have the mind for that. I know that I couldn't have been a president of the United States, although at times I kind of wonder, but let's move on. Why? Because of God-given limits. We have to embrace limits. Limits do two things for us. One, limits keep us honest about ourselves. We have to embrace limits. Think of all the limits to embrace. We have to embrace the limits within our own bodies. And that can have to do with health issues, can have to do with stature and size, all kinds of things. And through our lives, many times, this becomes very hard to people that physically limitations come, and that's hard. I have grieved with many as they grew older through the years. I just called Ike yesterday. He was on our board for years there in Mason. He lost his wife just this week, and we just prayed together, and he just cried on the phone. I was driving up to make a visit to a home of someone from our own body that is near passing right now. And as I was driving and thinking of it, and the limitation that was so hard for Shirley in recent years, but she's with the Lord now. But that can be so hard. Our family of origin can be limiting to us. Marital status, intellectual capacity. How many of you say, I see that on a weekly basis here at Central? Talents, gifts. How many of you love to have the ability Pastor Tom has? Huh? Material wealth. How many of you would love to have the wealth? Just point at whoever you want here in the body. Go ahead. I don't know. Work, many times very limiting to us. I've met people in my life, they say, I wish I could do something else, but this is what they do, and this is what they were able to do, and this is what they've fallen into. And they say, oh, I wish I could go to a different track years ago, but I've had to just stay put. That can be very limiting. Relationships, just the raw material, our personality, who we are. It's so important that you just embrace the way that God made you. Freud called it a personality, but we know it's the gifts. It's reflected through his word. Time can be limiting, etc. The second thing about limits is this. Limits keep us dependent upon God. It helps us to get a true view of who we are, but also they help us to keep dependent upon the Lord. I believe limits can be a grace. And many times we call them a curse, but it can be a grace if we turn them into something that God uses, as Paul did his thorn in the flesh. Let me quickly look at four things tonight. Number one, accepting God-given limits leads us to personal responsibility, not abuse. Personal responsibility, not abuse. Limits work really two ways with us. First of all, us accepting our own limits. That's what Paul and John are great about. That's what Jesus did. But what about you? I remember coming up the stairs a couple years ago, and Carla's enjoyed Joyce Meyer through the years a little bit more than I have, but I have to admit her stories are funny. And I remember I just walked through and was cutting through, and I heard her telling the story that she had invited people to her house for a gathering, a party of some sort, and she had worked so hard and cleaned so hard and cooked so hard and done so. She said, by the time they came in the door, I was mad at all of them because I just had worked so hard for them. You ever been there? But her point was she had brought it all on herself. And she felt so spent, but really in the end she realized she should have put her own limitations on herself, but rather she had to take responsibility for that in her life. When it comes to limits, we have to take personal responsibility. And that begins initially when we accept how God made us, who he made us to be, and what he wants us to do. And that's a huge thing for some of us, but that's where it all begins. The other thing is others accepting their limitations. And Scazzaro, in his book that I've referenced throughout the series, Emotionally Healthy Church, a rabbi told a story that he uses in his book about a man who set out on his life's dream. And as he was going along on his life's dream, he came across a bridge one day, and there was a man with a rope, and the man tossed him the rope and quickly jumped over the bridge. And that man had to hang on because he didn't want that man to die and to perish. And this rabbi tells of the exchange between the man on the end of the rope hanging on and the man that's dangling. And threw the responsibility on that man with the rope. And he says, finally, the man holding the rope says, I will not accept the position of choice for your life. only for my own. I hereby give back the position of choice for your own life to you. And the man dangling says, well, what do you mean? And he gets afraid. And the man says, I mean simply, it's up to you. You decide which way this ends. I will become the counterweight. You do the pulling and bring yourself up, and I will even tug some from here. But how many of you know sometimes people throw ropes on us that really we shouldn't be holding? It's their responsibility. I've been there so many times. There's a friend of mine that's a missionary, and he'd come to visit on many occasions our church, and he kind of gave me a hard time about it. But honestly, in my own life, there is nothing more joyful to me than to help somebody. How many love to help someone? I just love if my little gifts can bring someone along. I enjoy that so much. But I know I've been on the end of that rope sometimes where I do need that rebuke to say, just let it go. Because that person has to take responsibility for themselves. That's a limiting thing that's very hard sometimes for some of us. But first of all, it leads you and I to personal responsibility, not abuse. Not to allow ourselves to be abused or others. Second, to pleasing God, not others. And this again, many times, there's nothing more joyful to me than to be able to help someone. But you know, many times people have to help themselves. And many times in pleasing God, we can become more pleasing of people than Him in this area of limitations. And conversely, nothing can be so sad and depleting to your spirit than when you're trying to help someone and yet they're not willing to help themselves. And you put forth so much effort, and sooner or later, maybe God has you going on down the road, but instead you're standing there holding that rope. Much like the story of the Good Samaritan. There comes a point many times in our lives, but you remember how that man, a good addendum to the story was that he left that next day, it says he took out 2 silver coins and he left them with the innkeeper, said, look after him, and said, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any expense. Now, we don't know the rest of the story, but let me give you two ways it might have ended. Let's say the rest of the story. Paul Harvey is giving this now. 3 weeks later, that man returns and the innkeeper says, thanks you so much for what you've done for that man. That man healed completely, and he didn't know who to return thanks to, and he even left these funds to say, go and please help someone else. He wanted to pay you back. Or if he didn't have the funds, he said, I'm going to go on down the road, but you tell that man if he ever comes back here that I'm going to help someone the same way that he helped me. How wonderful that would be to the end of the story. Or it could have read something like this. 3 weeks later, the Samaritan returned only to find that same man in room 202. I mean, you know what I'm saying. And that innkeeper saying he has stayed in that room and he's become lazy and he is just saying, I'm waiting on that guy to come back around with more silver coins. Huh? Difficult as it may be to accept, there are times in our lives that we need to assess how we're handling our limitations, how we're handling other limitations, and whether we're really pleasing God or seeking to please others. Accepting God-given limits leads us, thirdly, to practicing contentment, not competition. And this is really hard on us. Again, back to that American, our economic system, but just who we are as a people. We're very competitive. But look at Paul and look at John. When I read through Corinthians, a friend of mine years ago, his wife said, I can't stand Paul. Well, Paul's kind of hard on ladies. I mean, have you ever noticed that? So there, I cut all those verses out around Central Assembly. Could have heard any man tonight. I'll let you deal with Paul on some of those. But he has some really unique stances on some things. But you know, when we look at Paul and John, they accepted who they were. And the practicing of contentment, Paul says. But our advertising today says that we need that car. We need to win by beating others out. We don't do well accepting what we have when we look around the corner and see what somebody else has. And that's just ingrained in so much of our commercialism, our advertising, our economy. How many of you ever enjoyed Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber? Any of you tonight? VeggieTales? Do you know the background of VeggieTales? Incredible. I loved it with the kids when we were growing up. The voice for Bob, you know, was one of the founders, really two men, but he was the primary founder. It began in 1993, grew rapidly to 200 employees, had the motion picture by 03, wanted to rival Walt Disney, but do it for the Lord. And God worked miracles in their early years from 93 to 99. It was phenomenal what was happening, and then they overexpanded themselves. They were sued for a breach of contract, ended up filing Chapter 11 in 03. They lost everything. The company was sold. Phil Vischer, who was that founder, talks about even how physically sick he became because of what was happening. He said he stopped playing music. He stopped creating. He stopped because he was trying to build an empire. And his quote reads like this: I was trying to be someone that God didn't call me to be and that God didn't create me to be. It wasn't working, and I couldn't see a way out without disappointing a lot of people. Do you hear there a man having a hard time putting limits on his life? He's worried about people. He's worried about others. He's worried about success. But he hit to the heart of it. He wasn't content in who God created him to be. Every one of you here are created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. And how many times we're doing things God didn't even make us to do that. Now, if he wants to stretch us, let him stretch us. But many times we may go so far out of the limitations of what God has for us, just like I'm past the limitation of 7:15, but don't look at your clock. Let's move forward. Reinhard Niebuhr, of course, pastor, theologian, gave us the Serenity Prayer, but the original prayer of Serenity went like this, had a key word to it that's been replaced. God grant us grace to accept the serenity. Many today, God grant me the serenity to accept the things. No. The original was, God grant us grace to accept. How many know we need that grace? To accept with serenity the things cannot be changed, courage to change the things that should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish from one of the other. What a beautiful prayer, but it's a grace. It has to do with limiting. Accepting God-given limits leads us to personal responsibility, to pleasing God, not man, to practicing contentment, and then to participatory involvement, not burnout. And I'll close with this, because this kind of brings it home to the church. You know, it's a good Sunday morning thing to talk about, but we'll talk about it on a Sunday night. It's where a lot of churches can be very unhealthy. I've heard it all my life, and I've really lived it. I know it's true. You want to get something done, find somebody that's already what? Busy. And we know that to be, it's just kind of one of those cliches, but we know it's true. Because many times the busy people, they're the ones willing to pay the price. They'll pay more of a price, and you can just keep throwing ropes on them. The problem with that philosophy is they may get it done, but sooner or later you can only hold so many ropes. You can only handle so much in your life. That 80-20 rule, it happens all the time in companies and in little office situations and staffs. It happens in churches. 20% are carrying the load for that other 80%. This was never God's intention. So God sent Jethro along to Moses, right? And his father-in-law says, what you're doing is not wise. You need to appoint these elders and you need to spread this out. So what happens in the early church, Acts chapter 7? But God says to the apostles, this is what you need to do. Let's appoint deacons and they will serve in this way so that you can devote yourselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. God gifts the body of Christ. Matter of fact, real quick, like, just turn and look. Look across real fast. Some of you aren't looking. You're looking at me. Don't look at me. Look around. Look around. Do you see any gifted people in this room? I see all gifted people in this room because you're creating the image of God. And he deposits in every one of us a grace. 1 Peter says it, chapter 5, that all of us are to use whatever gift we have to serve others for the glory of God. Every one of us here has a gift. What should you do with that gift? Use your gift. The problem is if 20% use their gifts and 80% sit on their gifts, you see, that's where we run into our problem. And burnout is a colloquialism that we should not even ever even imagine and entertain in the body of Christ. Why? Because we have plenty of gifts at Central Assembly to do all the work of the ministry if everybody will serve and use their gifts. What's the remedy? It's back to the beginning. John and Paul, they understood. We all need to understand and accept our limitations, our place, and our purpose. And limits keep us honest about ourselves and then reliant and dependent upon God. Bruce, you're here tonight. Stand up real quick, will you? Just stand up. I want to say thank you. And I'm going to read a quick email I just read this afternoon from you. This is Bruce Snavely. He began and he operates. He's the CEO of our Oil Change Ministry. Give Bruce a big hand tonight. Bruce, thank you, brother. The work is amazing. And here's what, do you mind me reading a portion of your email? This is from just today. A huge thanks to you who served in ministry at today's Oil Change Outreach. This is from yesterday morning. You did a fantastic job. God is our strength, exclamation point. We served 26 despite being a little short on volunteers outside and having new volunteers on board. We missed our inside coordinator, Carla McAfee, who stayed home to take care of her sick mother. I think that's only the second time in 5 years that she's missed an outreach. Think about that. Aren't you thankful for faithful people? It's incredible. Dennis and Cherie Sherry Snavely served for the first time. We appreciate new volunteers. We all love Snavelys. That's a good name there, Bruce. Okay. We have so much to be thankful for today's outreach. My heart is always warm when I see Central ladies holding the hand of a single mom and praying with her in the cafe area like I did today. I also heard several times outside on the parking lot, quote, "We're working as a team. You guys are a fun group to work with. There are several other teen girls who came without their parent, helping with children of single moms. I love our teen volunteers." Volunteers also pitched in and worked outside their assigned areas many times today to get the job done. We were done changing oil before noon, which is a testimony to everybody's cooperative spirit. Isn't that a beautiful email? I won't take time to read it all, but we even yesterday, he says, we stretched and allowed a veteran from Afghanistan, a male, we let a guy in our oil change ministry. And they changed his oil, ministered to that dad with two kids. Is that right, Bruce? I heard the story from Pastor David. We even changed the oil of that veteran yesterday. How beautiful. That's how it ought to be. And you know what? Wasn't long ago I heard, though, that the Fusion ministry, the oil change ministry, was a little bit low on helpers. I thought, how sad. I changed my oil on all my vehicles. I have for years. You know what? I could come and do that, but I think there are others in this church that can change oil as well. And it'd be great for me to get out, and I've been there with the guys and actually tried to get in one time, and they just kept elbowing me out. Bruce, I felt I wasn't even welcome. But they didn't want the pastor. That's fine if they want to. I know how to do that. I do it all the time. But you know what? There are others in this church that could change oil. There are others that could help in the nursery than those that do. There are others that could teach children than those that do. There are others that could help in neighbor's ministry than those that do. When Jerry Parsley and Pastor David did the concessions here at Grant Beach Neighborhood months ago, I delighted in that, but I thought there are others that could sell concessions and be a blessing to our community. How many know what I'm saying? All of us, 80-20, wouldn't it be neat if 100% used their gift at Central Assembly? I'll close with this. On the area of limitations, number one, evaluate your heart. Evaluate your heart, your place in the kingdom work. Second, evaluate your gift. Are you using your gift to the full capacity for the glory of God? But also evaluate your own limits. And are you overextending yourself? Say, well, no one else is helping, Pastor. Then we need to get someone else to help so that you don't burn out, because that should not be heard in the body of Christ. Also look around and think of those who serve you on a regular basis. And you can look constantly, and every week there are hundreds at Central that make church be what it is. And you may be seated here tonight and you think, wow, I do receive from a lot of people when I myself, I'm not putting much back in. Then why don't you step out of the pew tonight and say, with limitation, a healthy way, I can serve at Central Assembly. In closing, desire and commit to be healthy in this new year, because that's the heart of this series. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes, if you will, tonight. And we'll close. We're 10 minutes late, but next week we'll do better. And I was started 10 minutes late, so it'll work. We just have to work on our order a little bit. But as we close tonight, to evaluate your heart, where are you at on limits? Where are you at on limits? And I'm going to close in prayer. We've already prayed. We had 40 minutes of prayer tonight. I'm just going to close God's word and we'll leave. But if you're here and you say, Jeff, I'm so limited that I'm not doing anything. I've got it cushy. Everyone's serving me. I'm like a king in this church. Then maybe tonight you need to say, okay, I've limited myself too much, and I need to pick up a ministry. We would love to talk to you about that. Just call this week the office. Go to the Connect Center. Talk to Megan next Sunday morning. We'll get you plugged in. And you may be here. You're not serving in any way. I look across and see Brother Charles Harris tonight. I love Brother Harris. And every Sunday, he's out in our hospitals. Many times, he comes straight from church, leaves and does the ministry all afternoon and comes back. Thank you, Dr. Harris. You may be here tonight and say, Jeff, I can do visitation. Let us know. But you need to step out in ministry, and maybe that's what God's speaking to you. You may be here tonight. You say, Jeff, I am overextended. It's not healthy where I'm at. We don't want you to overextend at Central Assembly. We want you healthy. We want all of us healthy. And so maybe tonight you realize I need to pull some things in order and I'm going to have to pull back on something. Then we're going to pray right now for you. No matter what, I want to pray for all of us that we have a great, healthy year in 2013. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have gifted your body in a beautiful way. I thank you, Lord, for the food pantry ministry. I think of those that work in between, Lord. There are those that work and nobody sees their work, but they go out and they come back and they bring the food and they stock the shelves. And then, Lord, many come once a month. Thank you for the beautiful work. It's great teamwork. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Thank you for the oil change. Thank you for neighbors. Lord, but thank you for so much ministry to our children right here, girls ministry. Thank you for High Point. Thank you for Royal Rangers. Thank you, Lord, for the nursery and the preschool departments. Thank you, Lord, for Justin and his great work. Thank you, Father, for adult Sunday school classes that have teachers that churches would envy all across this nation. We are so blessed. Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for every usher, every greeter, every choir member, every worship team. Oh, Lord, thank you. We have so many serving. And I pray, Lord, tonight for any that may be overextending themselves, we release them in the name of Jesus to say, Lord, they can pull things in if they're overextended. May they be released and be able to find a healthier way to be themselves this year. Father, I pray for any that are here that really realize that actually they're just being served and they're not really serving. Lord, if they can turn a wrench and drip that oil into that pan and put that filter on, Lord, and refill, I pray, God, that they'll step up and they'll help Bruce next month. May we have abundance of workers in that area. Lord, if others here that they just realize they need to serve, maybe they'll greet at the door and hand a bulletin and put a smile on a face and welcome people each week here, Lord. Whatever the area is, I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts and that all of us in a healthy manner will serve with our gifts. And Lord, we thank you for our church. As Mike led us earlier, just praying generally over us as an entity, God, we pray that Central Assembly will be healthy in 2013. I pray we'll be healthy vertically with you, God. We'll be healthy horizontally with one another in our relationships. And we'll be healthy, Lord, in our purpose in life as we use our gifts to serve others, to serve our community, even to serve our neighbors. May we be good neighbors in this year, Lord, and do it as healthy people for you, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said tonight, amen. Amen.